Hello, and welcome back to Stargraving Madness. I am Lex.
And I'm Britt.
And today, we decided to do something a little bit different. We are going to talk about a pretty, he's kind of a pretty famous serial killer, Albert Fish. He was also known as the Gray Man, the Werewolf of Wisteria, the Brooklyn Vampire, the Moon Maniac, and the Boogeyman. There's also going to be a trigger warning for this episode because it is pretty graphic.
Yeah.
We're going to be reading two of the letters that he wrote.
There's a lot of gore, a lot of triggered by any rape or topics of rape. I wouldn't listen.
Yeah, specifically involving young children.
Yeah.
It's pretty graphic and...
This dude was pretty messed up.
Yeah, he was pretty bad. So if any of you guys are can't listen to stuff like that, you know, I would back out now. Because it only gets worse from here.
Alright, so Albert Fish was actually born as Hamilton Fish. And he was born in Washington, D.C. on May 19th in 1870.
Oh, Gemini.
Indubitably.
That's like a common theme that most serial killers are Geminis.
I've noticed.
You know, Jen would love that.
I know. That's specifically who I thought of.
Right. We have a friend.
She thinks we're all killers.
Yeah, every Gemini is a killer.
Everyone.
Which is funny, because that is what Brittany and I are Geminis. So, not a serial killer, guys.
All right, and he was the youngest of three, and... Strangely enough, the reason that he calls himself Albert is from, like, a really, really young age. He basically came out and was like, hey, call me Albert after his sibling died. And that was his name. So, he's already pretty odd from the get-go.
Why would you want to be named after your dead brother or sister?
It's a little weird, yeah.
Yeah.
And so... Many members of his family had mental illness, and one suffered from religious mania, which I couldn't necessarily find too much on what that was exactly, but the gist of it was that you focused so much on religion as a whole that it made you OCD and crazy if you weren't involved in it.
Right, which is like...
In some way.
So there have been some serial killers and just like cult leaders that have had that.
Yeah.
That's a thing. Isn't that like, I don't know if that's exactly mixed in with schizophrenia or anything, but you know, they do have religious.
It said that a symptom of it was hallucinations of religious figures.
That's interesting.
So, but there's not proof that it's a legit illness type of deal.
Gotcha.
I think it's a form of schizophrenia.
That would make sense.
People did.
Huh. Interesting.
But, after all of basically his bloodline has, you know, schizophrenia, mental illness, they basically, his dad died from a younger point of his age, or younger point of his life, and then after his dad died, because his dad, from what I read, was the most normal out of the family.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Because he was just, like, a hardworking fisherman, from what I read.
Right.
And so, after he died, his mom had to get rid of him, basically, because she couldn't afford to take care of him anymore. So she put him in an orphanage. And that's where everything kind of went downhill, was at that orphanage, because there it was kind of the point in his life where he was also trying to figure out like his hormones and like his whole identity period. It's like the most crucial part of your life. It was like 10, 11, 12.
So we have basically a kid who already has a history of mental illness. His dad dies, and then his mom gives him up for an orphanage where that probably wasn't very easy for him.
No.
It's like a recipe for a serial killer, honestly.
Yeah,
like,
but
childhood
not to
trauma.
Mention, during his time at the orphanage, he was whipped and beaten to like the point where he began to enjoy it. Because in these years, his brain was still in development of, like, trying to figure out his sexuality. So, same thing that being confused with arousal began the downhill of him beginning to basically just mess his whole body up. Sexually please himself.
Well, yeah, that's...
And then later on, leads to him doing it to other people.
Oh, yeah. Wait till we get to that. That's some pretty
it's
sick
crazy.
Stuff. Yeah. There's a reason I can't eat pot roast anymore.
Yeah.
No, sorry, guys. Hope that's not your favorite
like
food. Yeah.
Get out now.
Yeah, yeah.
We haven't gone there yet. You have time.
You have some time to turn the hell around.
Yeah.
And just find a different podcast.
But anyway, so he stayed at this orphanage for a while. Weird shit went on. He's, you know, basically traumatized, and his mom gets him back. But he's basically, like, already messed up from all the things that have happened to him at this point.
Poor child.
And so, after that, he went back to his mom, and at the age of 12, he got into his first, like, I guess, sexual relationship with a telegraph boy.
At 12?
At 12, yeah.
Good Lord, that's young.
Yeah. Which means all this stuff happened before
he
was even
Yeah,
young.
That makes sense why he's so messed up.
Yeah.
that'll do it to you.
Lot.
Yeah, that'll do it. Not that condones what he did, though. Like, feel sorry for him as a kid. Don't feel sorry for him as an adult.
No,
yeah.
He most definitely deserved.
We'll get to that.
Oh,
but,
show.
Yeah.
But he was introduced to the act of drinking urine and coprophagia.
I don't know what that is.
It's the consumption of feces.
Oh. Oh.
Yeah, he's into some twisted things.
So wait, so they...
But
they
learned this at the age of 12.
So they drank urine.
Yeah.
And ate feces.
Yeah.
So he ate literal shit.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Like literally
ate shit. All right,
yeah.
Cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah, at the age of 12.
Maybe he should,
I don't know about you, but that's not... No,
no,
yeah,
that's
I feel
not...
like you need better people around you.
Yeah, definitely. If somebody, we met at a young age, and, you know, if you had been like, hey, Lex,
I would have been like,
drink this urine, I would have been like, nah, man, nah. Like, you can just go on out of there with that shit. Like...
No.
Ooh, buddy, he's,
But later on he began visiting public baths and began watching boys undress at these public baths. And he did this, like, it was a daily routine on his weekends for him to do this. So it was that frequent. And so in 1890, Fish moved to New York City. And he began working as a male prostitute, supposedly. And this is about the same time that he began raping and molesting young boys. And his mom actually thought that maybe arranging a marriage would help his homosexual urges, so she did that.
Oh.
And he got married in 1898 and had, like, six kids.
Six kids?
Yes. Six kids.
But he was primarily attracted to men.
Yeah.
So that never... Okay, well...
Yeah. He just... Yeah.
Good on mom, I guess, for trying, but...
And the stick in all cases. Period. But
poor dude. I mean, not poor dude. Like,
no.
Cause like, just, but he could have had a better parent. Yeah, like, come on.
But he was sent to prison for embezzlement, and there he actually like was able to act on his urges and frequently like have sex with men. And in January of 1913, his wife left him for a handyman that they had hired that was staying with them. And at this point, the rejection kind of sent him at a cracking point, I guess.
Yeah. A trigger point.
Yeah,
basically.
he got, it was his breaking point.
Yeah, that's what they call like a trigger point when they're referring to somebody like starting to kill, I guess.
Yeah. So at that point, he began to also hear voices.
Oh, okay.
Like he was doing weird shit. Like I read that he rolled himself up in a carpet.
You know, actually, in my research, I wrote that down. That he rolled himself up in a carpet because he claimed that the voice of, I think it was John the Apostle, told him to do it.
Yeah.
So it sounds like he's getting some of that religion. Yeah. Right. So he was a suspect to at least 5 murders, but you know he only confessed to 3.
Yeah.
He boasted.
Well, I actually saw 3 other names of people he could have potentially killed.
Right, but he never claimed them. He there was actually like 8 or 9, but he never claimed.
Oh, he legitimately only
claimed 3 of them, and But I found something interesting. His lawyer actually said that he had like a stack of papers that Albert had wrote before he died, but he would refuse to release them to the public, refuse that you might see them just because how graphic they were. So I'm wondering if maybe he confessed to some of these other murders, you know, that we didn't know about, right?
That's impossible.
Right. But, okay, so he boasted that he had children in every state, and he said that his number was around 100, but nobody ever knew if it was talking about, like, rapes or cannibalism or both, and it was never confirmed to be true. So we don't actually know how many this man killed.
He said 100?
He said around 100, yeah.
Jesus.
Right. He was caught on December 13th of 1934, and he was put on trial for the kidnapping and murder of Grace Budd. He was then convicted, and he was executed by electric chair on January 16th, 1936, at the age of 65. So this is what is unusual about him, is that he was an older man that was a serial killer, which you don't really often see. You know, he really didn't start killing till he was a little bit older, like actual killing, you know? Yeah. You know.
he did, like, the molesting and
right. So he became obsessed with sexual mutilation after a male lover took him to a waxworks museum, where he was extremely fascinated by the bisection of a penis, which I was too scared to look up what that is because I feel like that would probably it'd be really disgusting, and I felt like that would, you know, that's not something I want to look at. So around 1910, he was working in Delaware, where he met a 19-year-old man by the name of Thomas Kedden. The two began a sadomasochist relationship. It was really unclear whether Fish forced him into it or not. 10 days after they had met, Fish took him to an old farmhouse and began to torture him. This lasted for 2 weeks. He eventually tied up Keaton and cut off half his penis. And this is a direct quote from Fish. He said, "I shall never forget his scream or the look he gave me." He had originally planned to kill Kedden. I'm not sure how you pronounce it. I'm going to say Kedden. He originally planned to kill him, cut up his body, and take him home. But he was worried about the hot weather, I guess, like the smell, that it would attract attention. Yeah. Because you don't want like the smell of rotting meat, because people are gonna be looking at you.
Oh, yeah.
And you're like, what is up with this man smelling like beef? I smell like beef. Sorry, that was the perfect opportunity to slip that in there. I know. instead, he poured peroxide over the wound, which, ouch, wrapped it in a Vaseline covered like handkerchief, and left him $10 and kissed him goodbye. And left. He actually didn't care enough to look into what happened to him.
Yeah, it's fucked.
It is fucked. So, you know, he be- like you said, in 1917, his wife left him, and he began to hear those auditory hallucinations. It was around this time that he began to self-harm. He would push and embed needles into his groin and abdomen. He would hit himself repeatedly with a nail-sided paddle and would insert wool doused with lighter fluid into his anus and light it on fire, which is, well, fuck, okay.
Fucking why?
Why? He never attacked or abused his children. However, he would encourage them and their friends to paddle him with that nail-studded paddle. So, like, you just imagine being his kid and, like your friend coming over and you're just like, I'm sorry, my dad does this thing.
Yeah, no.
He's going to want you to paddle him. Just do it so we can get the hell out of here. Like, just paddle him real quick and we'll just leave.
That's probably exactly what it was.
But, you know, to my knowledge, most of his kids actually turned out pretty normal. They never...
I know,
for some reason, yeah.
If I had
to paddle my dad, rest in peace, you know, like, I'd be kind of messed up from it.
Yeah, no, that's kind of some trauma you can't,
right,
you can't
remove
from the
brain. He soon grew an obsession with cannibalism. He would often prepare himself a dinner of only raw meat, and sometimes he would serve it to his children, which is kind of, like, gross, because, like, okay, you can be into eating raw meat, but don't force your kid to eat raw meat.
No, that's not.
That's a little messed up. He would. So it said that he was arrested for sending an obscene letter to a woman who answered an advertisement for a maid, for like a maid service, and he was sent to a psychiatric hospital for observation, and he was released. I have seen the letter somewhere, but I couldn't find it for this episode, but it was really graphic. Like, he just like went off on this woman.
Just why?
I can't really remember why. I just remember that, and I couldn't really find any research about why, but I think I actually had listened to another podcast about somebody talking about him, and they went into details about why, but I could not find anything in my, you know, research that you know, would say why. So, in around 1919, he stabbed an intellectually disabled boy in Georgetown, Washington, D.C. He chose people who were either mentally handicapped or African American as his victims, explaining that he assumed these people would not be missed when killed, which actually is kind of what Jeffrey Dahmer did. You know, Jeffrey Dahmer only killed African American men or like Hispanic men in poor neighborhoods.
Oh, I never even.
Yeah, because they would be the ones that wouldn't be missed the most.
What?
Yeah, I actually didn't know that either until I read more about it in like one of his books or something, you know?
What the fuck?
Yeah. He would claim to occasionally pay boys to find him other children. He tortured, mutilated, and murdered young children with his implements of hell, which was a meat cleaver, a butcher knife, and a small handsaw.
You said handsaw?
Yes.
No.
These are some of his, could have been victims.
Kind
of bad, yeah. So on July 11th, 1924, Fish found 8-year-old Beatrice Keel playing alone on her parents' farm on Staten Island. He offered her money to come and help him look for rhubarb. She was about to leave the farm when her mother chased Fish away. So he left, but later returned to the Keel's home where he tried to sleep, but was discovered by Beatrice's father and forced to leave. During 1924, the 54-year-old Fish, who was suffering from psychosis, felt that God was commanding him to torture and sexually mutilate children. So shortly before this is like the famous abduction that got him caught. So shortly before the abduction of Grace Budd, Fish attempted to test his implements of hell on a child he had been molesting named Cyril Quinn. Quinn and his friends were playing box ball on a sidewalk when Fish asked them if they'd eaten lunch. When they said that they had not, he invited them into his apartment for sandwiches. While the two boys were wrestling on Fish's bed, they dislodged his mattress and they found a knife, a small handsaw, and a meat cleaver. They became frightened and ran out of the apartment. So he had some like potential victims, which is how he got those nicknames. And I didn't really go
what nicknames?
The Gray Man, the Boogeyman.
Okay,
yeah,
makes sense.
Yeah, you're gonna
Dude,
see
I
that.
Know, when I first heard about this guy, like the Boogeyman, when I was younger, it scared the shit out of me just because of the name.
Right. So, fun fact: I actually did my 10th grade research paper on Albert Fish, and let me tell you, when I turned that paper into my teacher, she pulled me aside afterwards and had to talk to me about if I was okay. And I was I just really find I've always just really found serial killers fascinating.
No, same. Yeah.
And it's not like I want to be like them. I want to understand. Yeah,
understand why the fuck and.
All right, so this is his first known murder that we're about to get into, and this is some pretty bad stuff. But the next two murders that are actually we're going to talk about after this one are pretty graphic. Just letting you guys know now, this is where we're going to get into reading the letters that he had wrote to these parents and how he described it. So, all right, so his first known murder was Francis McDonald. So during the night of July 14, 1924, 9-year-old Francis McDonald was reported missing. He never returned home from playing catch with his friends in a neighborhood of Staten Island. A search was organized and his body was found hanging by a tree in a wooded area near his house. He had been sexually assaulted and then strangled with his own suspenders. According to his autopsy, he had also suffered extensive lacerations to his legs and abdomen, and his left hamstring was almost stripped completely of flesh. So Albert actually refused to take claim for the incident of his left hamstring being stripped, although he later stated he intended to castrate the boy but fled when he heard somebody coming. McDonald's friends told the police that he was taken by an elderly man with a mustache. The description of the stranger became known as the Gray Man. That's where he got that nickname.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
His case actually did not get solved until Great Bud's murder. Okay, so the second murder, this one gets pretty graphic. There's a letter involved. So on February 11th, 1927, 3-year-old Billy Beaton and his 12-year-old brother were playing in the apartment hallway in Brooklyn with 4-year-old Billy Gaffney. When the 12-year-old disappeared, he left to go to his apartment. Both younger boys disappeared. Beaton was later found on his roof. When he was asked what happened to Gaffney, Beaton said the boogeyman took him. His body was never recovered. So that's where that nickname, the boogeyman, came from. But initially, serial killer Peter, I'm not even going to attempt to pronounce that last name.
Yeah.
He was a suspect. Then Joseph Meehan, who was a motorman on a Brooklyn trolley, he saw a picture of Fish in the newspaper and identified him as the old man whom he had saw on February 11th. The old man had been trying to quiet a little boy. The boy wasn't wearing a jacket and he was crying for his mom. So Beaton's description of the boogeyman matched Fish, and the description of the little boy matched Billy Gaffney. So detectives of the Manhattan Missing Persons Bureau, were able to establish Fish was working at a location a few miles away from where the body was abducted. Gaffney's mother, Elizabeth, visited Fish in Sing Sing when he was caught. She wanted to know about her son's death. Fish refused and began to weep and asked to be left alone. After 2 hours of questioning through his lawyer, James Dempsey, she gave up. And she actually... it's still not certain that Fish actually killed her boy. She feels like he didn't.
What?
Yeah. So I'm going to read where I think it was his lawyer had he had wrote a letter to his lawyer or something describing this murder of Billy. So I'm going to read that and I'm going to let you guys know it is pretty graphic. He tells about this in a letter to his lawyer. So this is a direct statement from him. So he says, I brought him to the Riker Avenue dumps. There is a house that stands alone not far from where I took him. I took the boy there. I stripped him naked and tied his hands and feet and gagged him with a piece of dirty rag I picked out of the dump. Then I burned his clothes, threw his shoes in the dump, then I walked back and took trolley to 59th Street at 2 a.m. and walked home from there. Next day, about 2 p.m., I took tools, a good heavy cat of nine tails, homemade, short handle, cut one of my belts in half, slit these half in six strips about 8 inches long. Sorry, keep in mind, this is exactly how he wrote it, so it's not very, grammatically correct. I whipped his bare behind till the blood ran from his legs. I cut off his ears, nose, slit his mouth from ear to ear, gouged out his eyes. He was dead then. It gets worse. I stuck the knife in his belly and held my mouth to his body and drank his blood. I picked up four potato sacks and gathered a pile of stones. Then I cut him up. I had a grip with me. I put his nose, ears, and a few slices of belly in the grip. Then I cut him through the middle of his body, just below his belly button. Then through his legs, about 2 inches below his behind. I put this in my grip with a lot of paper. I cut off the head, feet, arms, hands, and legs below the knee. Then I put in sacks weighed with stones, tied the ends, and threw him into the pools of slimy water you will see along the road going to North Beach. Water is 3 to 4 feet deep. They sank it once. I came home with my meat. I had the front of his body I liked best. His monkey and peewees and a nice little fat behind to roast in the oven and eat. I made a stew out of his ears, nose, pieces of his face, and belly. I put onions, carrots, turnips, celery, salt, and pepper. It was good. Then I split the cheeks of his behind open, cut off his monkey and peewees, and washed them first. I put bacon on each cheek of his behind and put it in the oven. Then I picked four onions, and when the meat had roasted about a fourth of an hour, I poured about a pint of water over it for gravy and put in the onions. At frequent intervals, I basted his behind with a wooden spoon so the meat would be nice and juicy. In about 2 hours, it was nice and brown cooked through. I never ate any roast turkey that tasted as half as good as his sweet little fat behind did.
What?
I ate every bit of the meat in about 4 days. His little monkey was as sweet as a nut, but his peewees I could not chew. I threw them in the toilet. Told you it got worse.
Oh no. Yeah, that was way worse than I expected.
He was pretty graphic.
That made my stomach turn.
Yeah, so. When I was reading about this, I was physically feeling sick. I was like, I don't know about this. Like, I don't know about it. Yeah. So yeah, and there's another letter that is just as disturbing. I hate to say that. But that's going to involve our next.
This dude needs to stop talking so damn.
Yeah, he was very, the thing that makes very me believe him, he's very open and very descriptive about, you know, even talking about how deep the water was, how long it took. Like, I don't know, man. That is.
But he's written a novel about it before.
Well, like I said previously, apparently he left a bunch of letters to his lawyer who refused to release them, and if they're anything like what we had just read, I do not blame him. So we're gonna get into now the one that kind of made him, I guess this is the one that pretty much got him caught, and it's the third murder that he confessed to. So this one's kind of rough too. So on May 25th, 1928, Fish saw an advertisement in the New York World that read, "Young man, 18, wishes position in country. Edward Budd, 406 West 15th Street." Which is weird, because back in that time, you could put your address in a newspaper and not expect a weirdo to show up and kill you. But here's what happened.
Yeah.
But back then, it was common to, like, you know, like, I can't even imagine now putting my address in a newspaper. It's like inviting a world of creeps to come to you.
Yeah, no. You don't even put your whole address on Facebook.
I don't even put my phone number on Facebook. So on May 28th, hey, it's your birthday.
Hey!
Fish, who was 55 years old at the time, visited the Budd family in Manhattan under the pretense he was going to hire Edward. He confessed later that he planned to tie Edward up, mutilate him, and leave him to bleed to death. Fish introduced himself as Frank Howard. He was a farmer from Farmingdale, New York. He promised to hire Budd and his friend Willie. He said he would send for them in a few days. Fish failed to show up and sent a telegram to the family apologizing and set a later date. When he returned, he met Edward Jenner's sister, Grace. He changed the intended victim from Edward to Grace at that moment when he saw her. He then made up a story about having to attend his niece's birthday party and somehow convinced her parents to let Grace accompany him to
the
party.
Wait, why? Why did he change his mind?
I don't know. He never really, like, says why. I guess when he saw her, he couldn't help himself. Like, he kind of describes in this letter seeing her. I don't know.
What
yeah.
a weird dude.
Right. He was, yeah. So, also, the fact that her parents let her go to a party with a stranger.
Yeah, that's fucking weird.
Yeah, that's weird. So, she left, and she never returned. Police arrested 66-year-old Superintendent Charles Pope on September 5th, 1930. I think his wife was like, hey, you need to look into him. But he was found not guilty.
Yeah,
obviously. So there was a letter that was sent to the Blood family, which actually led to how he got caught.
Yeah.
You got to think, this man had written several letters before and had never gotten caught, but this was his undoing. Okay, so I'm going to read the letter, and it is really graphic and very kind of illiterate, because he was not a very smart man, apparently. Because here's all his misspellings. It says, like, this is it as a misspelling. So, this is the letter he sent to the family. My dear Miss Bud, in 1894, a friend of mine shipped as a deckhand on the steamer Tacoma, Captain John Davis. They sailed from San Francisco to Hong Kong, China. On arriving there, he and two others went ashore and got drunk. When they returned, the boat was gone. At the time, there was a famine in China. Meat of any kind was $1 to $3 a pound. So great was the suffering among the very poor that all children under 12 were sold to the butchers to be cut up and sold for food in order to keep others from starving. A boy or girl under 14 was not safe in the street. You could go into any shop and ask for steak, chops, or stew meat. Part of the naked body of a boy or girl would be brought out and just what you wanted to cut from it. A boy or girl's behind. I don't know. I didn't
what
look
the?
Into it. Yeah. Some things I just
That's
don't.
That's a whole other thing in itself.
Yeah. Some things I don't want to know, though. Like.
Yeah. No.
Yeah. A boy or girl's behind, which is the sweetest part of the body and sold as a veal cutlet, brought the highest price. John stayed there so long he acquired a taste for human flesh. On his return to New York, he stole two boys, 1 7, 1 11, took them to his home, stripped them naked, tied them to a chair, then burned everything they had on. Several times every day and night, he spanked them, tortured them to make their meat good and tender. First, he killed the 11-year-old boy because he had the fattest ass, and of course, the most meat on it. Every part of his body was cooked and eaten except head, bones, and guts. He was roasted in the oven, all of his ass, boiled, broiled, fried, stewed. The little boy was next, went the same way. At the time, I was living at 409 East 100th Street, rear right side. He told me so often how good human flesh was, I made up my mind to taste it. On Sunday, June the 3rd, 1928, I called on you at 406 West 15th Street, brought you pot cheese, strawberries, we had lunch. Grace sat in my lap and kissed me. I made up my mind to eat her on the pretense of taking her to a party. You said yes, she could go. I know. I took her to an empty house in Westchester I had already picked out. When we got there, I told her to remain outside. She picked wildflowers. I went upstairs and stripped my clothes off. I would get her blood on them. When all was ready, I went to the window and called her. Then I hid into the closet until she was in the room. When she saw me all naked, she began to cry and tried to run downstairs. I grabbed her and she said she would tell her mama. First, I stripped her naked. How did she kick, bite, and scratch? I choked her to death and then cut her in small pieces so I could take my meat to my rooms, cook, and eat it. How sweet and tender her little ass was roasted in the oven. It took me 9 days to eat her entire body. I did not fuck her, though. I could have had I wished. She died a virgin.
Jesus.
Yeah. Hey. Yeah. I can't even imagine getting that as a parent.
Yeah, no.
Yeah. So,
it's a good thing that that's his last victim.
Yeah. He said it was never in his head to rape the girl, but he did claim that while kneeling on Grace's chest and strangling her, he did have two involuntary ejaculations.
That's fucking disgusting.
Yeah. So the letter to the Budd family was written on a type of stationery that was tracked to a boarding house Albert was staying at. He was arrested. He pleaded insanity at trial and claimed to hear voices and from God telling him to kill children. Multiple psychiatrists testified about his sexual fetishes, which was pretty much everything. One expert said that nowhere in legal or medical records was there another person who possessed so many sexual abnormalities. So, any kink that you could think of, he had it. After his arrest, x-rays revealed that Fish had at least 29 needles lodged in his pelvic region. Because
that is why this dude is fucking crazy.
Right, he, you know, like to stick
this in the letters, like, that's a lot.
Yeah. So his suspected victims, they're listed, are Emma Richardson. She was age 5. Yetta Abramitz, age 12. Robin Jane Lou, age 6. Mary Ellen O'Connor, age 16. And Benjamin Collins, age 17. And those are some of his suspected victims. So they actually found him to be sane and guilty, and they ordered him a death sentence.
He died by electric chair, didn't he?
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. And he as he should have, you know.
Yeah.
But so that's some pretty heavy stuff. Sorry about that.
He most definitely lived way too long.
Yes, he did. 65 years was much too long.
Way
somebody
too
should
long
have
for him on this earth.
Taken him back to the back of the shed at the orphanage and just put him out of his misery. And it's disgusting what he did. So, yeah. Hopefully, next time we release a podcast, we'll have something a little bit more lighthearted for you guys.
Yeah,
maybe not
we'll cover something a little less
cringy.
Yeah.
I mean, all of this stuff is not for the faint of heart, but maybe we won't get into something so graphic this time. We actually had a case that we were working on, and we were kind of pushed in the direction that we could contact somebody for an interview. So that's kind of why we didn't go ahead with our original plan for tonight, because both Britt and I had the research done.
Yeah, we had the research done for it, and we really, really wanted to get, I guess, a different insight to it, and we saw somebody that was posting about it, and she had information, and she gave us the information, so we now have to try and get all that figured out.
Right. So next time we might actually, if things go well, we might have somebody that we're interviewing.
Yeah.
Which would be pretty cool. So.
And it's a pretty, it's a case that people are looking into now.
Yeah, it has gone on for too long, and they're constantly positioning.
Very, very important.
Yeah. So hopefully next time we'll have that. If not, we'll have something else for you guys. But yeah, thank y'all for listening.
In the meantime, have a good night.
Yeah, hopefully y'all enjoyed that crazy roller coaster ride we just took you guys on.
I mean, yeah.
All right. Yeah, we'll see y'all next time.